You know, when you make your therapist your dad, these things happen.
I just can't imagine telling a straight man my problems.
Unfathomable to me.
Yeah, it's like going to a male gynecologist. Like, what do you know about this?
Yeah, what do you know about this? Just like,
who's going to a male gynecologist?
They're out there.
I know they're out there, but why are you going to one?
Obstetrician gynecologist usually comes together, right?
He'd have to be the nicest guy.
I would literally never.
But I feel like for a long time they were all men.
Yeah.
Because all the doctors were men. My uncle is an obstetrician gynecologist.
What's his deal?
God bless.
We were estranged. And we're back. I'm here with Kendra.
Hello.
I'm here with Hallie.
Woo!
I'm here with Sarah.
Hello.
David's on the ones and twos.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. What a weekday. Donald Trump had a busy weekend of reintroducing himself to the country during his latest campaign swing, starting with this declaration at a rally in Ohio on Saturday.
Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole... That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it.
I should note, of course, that we've taken this clip out of context. Right before this moment, he took out a chainsaw and revved it up. In the speech, he also said, if this election isn't won, we won't have another election in this country. The Biden campaign responded in a statement, this is who Donald Trump is, a loser who gets beat by over 7 million votes, and then instead of appealing to a wider mainstream audience, doubles down on his threats of political violence. Trump would never sell out by going mainstream. He's a niche act with a small number of rabidly devoted fans, like Insane Clown Posse or the popcorn-flavored jelly bean.
Ugh.
No good. Trump on Monday defended his remarks, writing on Truth Social, the fake news media and their Democrat partners in the destruction of our nation pretended to be shocked by my use of the word bloodbath, which he put in all caps, even though they fully understood that I was simply referring to imports allowed by crooked Joe Biden, which are killing the automobile industry. Trump continued, he's killing American cars, which have blood. The cars in Pixar's Cars have eyes, so it follows that they have blood to supply oxygen to the eyes. The cars from Cars have optic nerves that go to the engine, which is the brain. Trump insinuates and vaguely asserts the possibility of violence all the time. But even in his claim that his words are being taken out of context, he refers to Democrats and the media as being in cahoots to destroy the country. Like, even when he's not using explicitly violent words, when you claim your opponents in politics don't just have a different point of view than you, but will destroy the country, you are signaling to people that those people are dangerous. And if you follow what he's saying to its logical conclusion, of course, he wants there to be political violence.
Also, don't put bloodbath in all caps when you're trying to say you meant it in a chill way.
Yeah, he meant bloodbath in a chill way.
Yeah, you can tell because he put it in all caps.
And then on Sunday, Trump said on Fox News that he would be making a decision pretty soon about whether to support a national abortion ban.
New York Times piece by Maggie Haberman and others says that you have discussed with your advisors having a ban, the possibility of a ban on abortion after 16 weeks. Do you think that could be politically acceptable?
So we're going to find out, and pretty soon I'm going to be making a decision. And I would like to see if we could do that at all. I would like to see if we could make both sides happy.
Ah, yes, Trump with his famous deft touch, a capacity to see an issue from every angle, to put himself in the shoes of everyone from a Baptist preacher to a 16-year-old who was impregnated by her uncle and only had the courage to say anything after she began to show. He'll make both sides happy. For Trump, sex is making both sides happy in the sense that he finished. Hallie, do you like that joke?
I mean, it was a well-put-together joke. It fills me with disgust. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to laugh. Here, I'm going to laugh through the disgust. he's repulsive on every measure. The idea that he should be involved in anyone's intimate medical decisions is repulsive.
Look, some jokes make you laugh. Some jokes make you take a shower. It's all kinds of jokes.
That's comedy.
Yeah. That's comedy, baby.
I think the other thing is there is some polling about 16-week abortion bans and other kind of abortion bans that aren't as draconian as 6 weeks, and they do pull better than the bans that take place earlier. But it is also just the reality that people do have an ambivalence about the issue, even though they largely believe the government should not be involved in these decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And in virtually every instance, when actually confronted by the reality of any kind of ban, even a 16-week ban that might pull better than a 6- or 12-week ban, the reality of what that would mean for people makes it extremely unpopular.
Right now, doctors in Louisiana are trying not to get people to come into their first maternal appointments until post 12 weeks, because 12 weeks is about the time where if you're going to have a miscarriage in the first trimester, that's generally like when it will happen. And so they're trying to keep you not coming until 13 weeks and beyond so that there is no legal implication that they may have caused or given you or like performed an abortion on you and then try to disguise it as a miscarriage.
I don't know if it was also Louisiana, but there's a headline this week, I can look it up, where basically they were implying that some doctors were feeling more compelled to do C-sections for a similar problem. And it's like, again, it's like, this is not an arbitrary moral decision that is someone, you know, 5,000 miles away should be making. It is affecting how medical professionals are providing care. And I think a lot of the ambivalence has to come, I mean, it unfortunately comes down to like the increasing ravenous, Christian fundamentalists, who are getting power in this country. Is the same issue with queer people, the same issue with trans people. It's like their discomfort with people having control over their bodies is just causing them to try to tighten the noose on our ability to live. And it's just like, we're talking about this, like, oh, it's 16, it's 12. And in reality, the person dealing with this is in the worst possible situation every time. And we would rather punish them and punish medical providers than be willing to address our discomfort with the idea that someone might be getting an abortion in a way that we don't approve of. But it shouldn't be us. Like, it shouldn't be our decision. And I include myself in that. I was raised Catholic. Don't know how I feel about it if I would ever get an abortion. That has nothing to do with it. Like, that's the idea that like my religious or personal decisions should be a part of this is insane. And then I don't know. There's no conclusion to that. It's just sort of like it's only going to get worse.
We throw out the word C-section really, really easily because it is such like a common procedure and like normal, like 95% of the time goes very well. But it is also the most, like, in terms of birth and that whole, like, all of that process, it's the most dangerous thing you can possibly do. So to jump from whatever
it's
the
major
basic,
surgery. Yeah, exactly.
To jump from whatever the basic option is to C-section is insane.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like this discourse about number of weeks often leaves out the later you need an abortion, the more tragic that situation tends to be. That's usually a wanted baby that there's a horrible problem.
Yeah.
No one is casually waiting until 18, 19 weeks to get an abortion. People want one the moment they want one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the same issue to me. It's like, oh, I remember getting into an argument with my Uber driver, but she was like, well, I know someone who had like 5 abortions. And it's like, that's a you problem. I don't know her. Like, what are you offering? And I think the same thing was like, oh, queer people, like, well, if you guys would stop acting so fruity, or like same with trans people, it's like, well, if you were more of a normal version, it's like, that's never going to happen. So we all have to, like, on the left at least, acknowledge that there is no amount of, there are no weeks. For like a Mike Johnson's the world, there's no weeks. It doesn't matter. Like, we're having a conversation around the fact that, like, they don't want anyone to be able to get an abortion.
Well, and the fact that even if you're someone who says, like, I agree with some of these abortions, but these ladies were getting 5 abortions, you can be uncomfortable with that. You can disagree with that. But if that woman doesn't have access, no one has access.
If that was true, then that woman needs help. Like, that is a sign that the system itself is wrong, rather than this individual proves that no one should be able to get an abortion.
Also, frankly, that woman's doctor will have that conversation with her because it is so invasive. So that doctor might say, hey, maybe this isn't the best idea, but that's between those two people.
Right. We're creating laws based on hypotheticals rather than on people's actual lived lives.
And also the same people who bring up that woman as a counterexample are the same people who want to ban contraception and ban sex ed. So,
Yeah.
Love it. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
No, I think I'm gonna leave it up to the gals.
Make us laugh. Make us laugh. Dance for us. Tell a joke.
Comedy.
It's a funny time. It's a funny time.
What's that? Wow,
we're
I
all
put
laughing.
It, but...
We're all laughing.
Mm-hmm.
In that same interview, Trump couldn't bring himself to blame Vladimir Putin for the death of Russian dissident Alexei Navalny.
But here's the thing. The media, as you know, blame Putin. Joe Biden blames Putin. Much of the civilized world blames Putin. Do you believe Vladimir Putin has some responsibility for the death of Alexei Navalny?
I don't know, but perhaps, I mean, possibly, I could say probably. I don't know. He's a young man, so statistically, he'd be alive for a long time. If you go by the insurance numbers, he'd be alive for another 40 years. So something happened that was unusual.
Then Trump whipped out his magnifying glass and resumed his other ongoing investigation. The death of JFK, said Trump. Look at this, in the head area. Statistically, heads almost never do that on the road.
Gotta leave this man's skull alone.
It's been weeks since we made a skull joke.
Yeah, we cut the last one.
We cut the last one. I just did it for fun at the live show, but none of you people got to hear it because it was considered too risque for the woke crooked crowd. When Fox News host Howard Kurtz pressed Trump on Navalny having survived poisoning by a nerve agent, Trump said this.
Well, obviously, he survived a poisoning attempt by the Kremlin and barely lived, went back, got jailed, and then suddenly he keels over. They don't release the body. I mean, how could anything like that happen without Putin and high-ranking Kremlin officials sanctioning it?
Well, I don't know. You certainly can't say for sure, but certainly that would look like something very bad happened, right?
I think we can agree on that.
I think so.
This is the Fox News version of a hard-hitting question, a single follow-up that boils down to, my leash, would you care for one more chance to clean this up and make sense? On Monday, Trump's lawyers told a New York appeals court that he was unable to secure a bond to cover the $464 million judgment against him in his New York civil fraud case, wrote Trump's lawyers, our client has also been unable to forge an emotional bond of any kind, which is neither here nor there, but just to give you the full picture. About 30 companies have refused to issue a bond because they won't accept real estate as collateral, and real estate is what accounts for most of Trump's wealth. Real estate and suits that have enough room in the dumper for an adult diaper. But he's not using that space yet. He's just investing in it for the future. And that, my friends, is real estate. Wrote one of the companies, we don't accept buildings as a matter of policy. And also, these particular buildings are tacky as hell. Real uggos as far as buildings go. The bond is due to be posted in a week, but Trump asked the appeals court to delay requiring the bond to prevent the state from seizing his assets. And we'd hate to see that, said a judge who loved the movie Past Lives and met Rachel Maddow once at the 92nd Street Y. On Monday, the U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments as to whether the government's efforts to persuade social media companies to remove misinformation was a violation of the First Amendment rights of those who posted the nonsense. And they have a watertight case, because the federal government put pressure on these platforms by threatening to lock non-compliant executives in a soundproof room with Commander Biden. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I misread that. It says here, government officials sent polite emails. At the center of the case are posts about the 2020 election, the COVID vaccine, and you guessed it, Hunter Biden's laptop. Good luck trying to shadow ban anything Hunter Biden related. MTG is walking around everywhere with a blown up picture of his hog. I'm calling it his hog. I've done that in repeated episodes.
I love
I don't know
hog.
Why.
That's a great euphemism.
I think it's funny.
Bring it back. Bring back hog.
Also, some people just have hogs. You know, some people
Lazarus,
have...
like when the, you're
like,
right, you're
like,
right.
Like the pigs.
No. Like a hog.
Like a hog. Oh, you mean
some people
have
that word just applies better. You know, like Hunter Biden,
he's got
a hog.
Some people got a wiener.
There's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah.
I thought you meant some people have pigs as pets.
Oh, I mean,
which
I'm
is
sure
also
they do.
True, but I didn't realize you were still in the analogy.
Yeah.
And good for you to be, you
Thank
know?
Thank you.
Anti-vaxxers allege that their posts were banned or deprioritized by social media algorithms at the behest of the government during the pandemic. It's actually cool when you think about it that the government really was out to get me because I was saying that for years and my ex-wife told me I was crazy. But who's laughing now? Angela and her new husband, Chris, who runs a Tough Mudder competition and who our kids call dad, but also me. The case was kicked up to the Supreme Court following a ruling last September by the wacky right-wing Fifth U.S. Circuit, which barred officials from the White House, the CDC, the Surgeon General's Office, and the FBI from even contacting social media companies. In response, the Biden administration pointed out that persuasion, informing the public, that's part of the president's job. For example, in one email, the White House flagged an RFK Jr. tweet that tied the death of baseball great Hank Aaron to being vaccinated against COVID. There is no evidence that Hank Aaron's 2021 death had anything to do with the vaccine. I don't know, though. What else could explain someone passing away at age 86? I suppose the feeling of a job well done after passing Medicare for all, securing abortion rights, fixing the climate, and fucking your hot teacher wife one last time on January 19th, 2029.
Really is a best case scenario you just described.
Yeah, I like it. The hearing suggested the justices believe the White House has the right to contact social media companies about moderating posts, provided they are not issuing threats. Justice Sonia Sotomayor also accused the states of misrepresenting communications, telling Louisiana's Solicitor General that I have a problem with your brief. You omit information that changes the context of some of your claims. For example, the state's brief cites an email from the White House to Facebook that said, are you guys fucking serious? I want an answer on what happened here and I want it today. Not great. Not great. But then you find out that that email was not a demand to censor any posts, but rather an outburst over a technical problem affecting the president's Instagram account. It had nothing to do with moderating content at all. Hey, we aren't assholes for the reason you think, said a spokesperson for the White House. This is a crazy email to send.
That post was supposed to be in the president's close friends only.
He was showing hole.
He was showing hog.
He was showing Whole Ann Hogg.
Mm-hmm. Now, if he wants to get elected.
No. No.
Well, there's different audiences for it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. There are people that could make the difference.
All the difference in the world.
Trying to draw a picture of that person in my mind, and I'm having trouble.
I thought you were saying you were going to draw a picture of Whole Ann Hogg. That's not what I was trying to picture.
I was trying to picture something else. Just picturing just like, here's a question.
Uh-huh.
If we had just side by side.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
Just full frontal.
Oh, boy.
I'm with you. Side by side nudes.
Brightly lit, white background, Trump full nude, Biden full nude.
Okay.
I think Biden's president.
I think so. Yes. Yeah. In that very specific scenario.
No makeup allowed.
No makeup allowed.
I think we'd see the tan lines, and I think it would really throw people on
just,
Trump.
Just the unfettered corpus.
Are we allowed hair pieces? Like, what are we?
Hair pieces?
Yeah.
No, we're not.
Okay.
We're not.
Yeah, I think Biden, in that very specific scenario, Biden is president.
I think we're all in agreement there.
I'm just worried that people will be too horny to vote.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge problem.
Americans did not show up to vote. They were all coming.
Pokemon come to the polls?
Anyway.
Oh, God. Please.
Now that we're imagining this, I'm excited to see who's going to be standing next to Kamala.
Oh, yeah.
No, we're not involving them. Speaking of misinformation, the princess is missing and we need information. Hold for deafening silence. Last week, the internet worked itself into a frenzy, theorizing over why Kate Middleton had not been seen publicly in months, even though she said, "I am going to get surgery and will not be seen publicly for months." When the royal PR department released a photoshopped image of Middleton and her children, the frenzy became a furor. A statement in Kate Middleton's name issued an apology for the altered image, but there was no updated image or video to put the rumors to rest. The lack of reliable information in a system that requires unending posts and content meant that bullshit flooded into the void. Kate is dead. Kate is in treatment. Kate's absence is tied to the suicide of another royal family member. That suicide was murder. Some suggested Kate got a BBL, which is ridiculous. It was William who got the BBL. Another theory claimed that the palace discovered Prince William had an illegitimate child with rumored mistress Rose Hanbury, causing Kate to seek a divorce. Hanbury's lawyers claim the story is completely false, which is what you would say. Then, word of Charles's death hit Russian social media Monday and spread like wildfire. Said Russians, "Oh no, Charles, it did. It popped up here between posts about Putin being handsome and how all the McDonald's leaving Russia is blessing in disguise." Another seemingly baseless rumor claimed that Buckingham Palace alerted the BBC about a coming major announcement by the royal family, but then it turned out to be guerrilla marketing for Meghan Markle's new Montecito lifestyle brand. Okay, it wasn't guerrilla marketing for Meghan Markle's new Montecito lifestyle brand, but this is actually the week that Meghan Markle decided to launch her Montecito lifestyle brand.
I'm petty, I get it.
That's wild.
It's a Trump card, yeah.
Yeah.
And then on Monday, TMZ published a video reportedly of Prince William and Kate Middleton leaving a farm shop on Saturday. Some have disputed that the video is recent, since lip readers tell us Kate Middleton is chatting about how 9/11 hasn't happened yet. Speaking of grainy, do you think it's her? I think it's her. I think this is all bullshit.
I don't, but I think it's because I've been driven insane by having to write this segment and be like, wait a minute. It goes all the way down.
I think that the people who are claiming that they can tell specifically from this video that this is her and she's fine are as crazy as the people who are claiming she's dead.
Oh.
Wow. I don't.
Only because this video tells us nothing.
It's the video's insane. It's very far away.
That's all. And I'm not saying it's not real. I'm saying that if you're saying you can tell from this video that that is that woman, that also is crazy because this video, you can't see anything.
My money's still on. She's dead.
I thought this lady never went outside in leggings, but Kendra said she does. So I'm
she's actually, she's what I'll say, she's very well known for her like sporty looks. She will constantly get dressed if she's going to like an event that calls for that. What I will say is I've never seen her in trainers. It's almost always a hiking boot.
And thank you for saying trainers so that the British people understand.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, right. We'd call it soccer if she was, Yeah, I mean, I continue to believe that everyone is crazy and that this is a person who didn't want to be on camera. And the people who were monitoring how bad things had gotten and whose job it is to help manage the image are the people who cared. She was not, in this instance, one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe being shot from far away where she doesn't have to feel as exposed because maybe she doesn't feel herself for whatever personal reason, which none of us have been privy to, which is fine, is kind of the compromise and why we got this video. And the need for an answer quickly is not important. It is only important in the internet, which is not important.
Alien doppelganger. Okay. I'm going to leave it there.
Well, have you heard about the doppelganger? I believe her name is Agen.
Oh, I don't know this yet.
Google that yet.
A new player has entered. Where's that? Has entered the villa.
I do think it rocks. Like, they could have just produced nothing of her, stayed silent,
yes,
kept to their plan. But to keep releasing a Photoshop photo, a grainy video, just they have to know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But I do think, like, if the Photoshop had been better, if it had been a more, like, successful execution of a Photoshop and then it was uncovered, I would be more willing to believe that there is a genuine kind of darker, more interesting secret here. But the fact that it was so ham-fisted, so quickly done, tells me that it is bumbling and not malicious. Like, it really does seem like, here's an old photo. We're not going to claim it's new, but I just made it look different and let's get it out there. Whoever got it from whoever just posted it. Nobody really looked at it very closely. This wasn't like a cabal doing excellent cabal work here.
I don't know, but the British are sort of known by for being bumbling and malicious. I think we just got to keep that in mind. Historically.
True. That's a good point. That's why there are no more dodos.
Yeah. My favorite sort of spinoff from this on TikTok now is that as people are discovering who Rose Hanbury is, there have been more pictures and stuff posted of whatever manor, house, whatever they have. And so now people on, I don't know if it's Chinese Americans or people in China on TikTok are pointing things out, being like, hey, that's ours.
Oh, my God.
Because of all the stuff that's been looted. So now they're starting to find more stuff that technically belongs to them.
Wow. Finders keepers. That's what I say.
Just kidding. Duly noted.
Just kidding. Just
John
kidding.
Lovett, quote, finders keepers.
I mean, he does have the Elgin marbles at his house, so.
Yeah.
You're going to be the headline on Nobody Cares News.
Yeah.
Elgin? Elgin?
I don't know. I think Elgin. Here's the thing. I don't care how many letters they send me. The Kremlin's not getting those Romanov bones back. Those are my Romanov bones.
What are you supposed to do when you're going to bed? Vanessa Hudgens' mail.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Vanessa Hudgens. My sister's keeping that tankini.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Hi, I'm Alex Wagner. I do not need to tell you that being an American right now is a wild ride. But as a longtime journalist, I am not interested in the noise or the fear-mongering. I'm interested in the stories at the heart of the headlines. That is why every week on my show, Runaway Country, I'm joined by folks in the middle of the crossfire. From disillusioned MAHA moms to newly fired immigration judges to Epstein victims themselves, to understand what it means to live through this political chaos as an actual human being. And now I'm excited to tell you that Runaway Country is available ad-free to Friends of the Pod subscribers. Friends of the Pod is the subscription that supports the work Crooked does as an independent media company and gives you a ton of great bonus and ad-free content. With the midterms approaching, you are going to need more content to keep you sane. And now you can find Runaway Country right there. Subscribe now at crooked.com/friends. Hi, I'm Alex Wagner. I do not need to tell you that being an American right now is a wild ride. But as a longtime journalist, I am not interested in the noise or the fear-mongering. I'm interested in the stories at the heart of the headlines. That is why every week on my show, Runaway Country, I'm joined by folks in the middle of the crossfire. From disillusioned MAHA moms to newly fired immigration judges to Epstein victims themselves, to understand what it means to live through this political chaos as an actual human being. And now I'm excited to tell you that Runaway Country is available ad-free to Friends of the Pod subscribers. Friends of the Pod is the subscription that supports the work Crooked does as an independent media company and gives you a ton of great bonus and ad-free content. With the midterms approaching, you are going to need more content to keep you sane. And now you can find Runaway Country right there. Subscribe now at crooked.com/friends.
Speaking Speaking of grainy videos featuring crisis actors, members of the climate activist group Extinction Rebellion interrupted a performance of Henrik Ibsen's An Enemy of the People, starring Jeremy Strong and Michael Imperioli, last week. No disrespect to Extinction Rebellion, but if you're putting on Ibsen's An Enemy of the People on Broadway in 2024, it's already about climate change, and everyone in that crowd believes in climate change. It's like interrupting Thanksgiving dinner so you can raise awareness about cranberry sauce. The play follows a doctor, played by Strong, who discovers his town's bathhouse is contaminated and who must go up against his brother, the town's mayor, played by Imperioli, when he attempts to let the public know the truth. The play's director, Sam Gold, has talked publicly about how this staging of the play is inspired by the climate crisis, comparing Strong's character to Greta Thunberg. The comparison makes sense as Greta Thunberg, a 50-year-old New Jersey man, has been in character without interruption for over a decade. One protester interrupted the play during a town hall scene in which performers were seated amongst the audience and delivered their lines to the stage, which led many in the crowd to believe it was part of the show.
I object, Dr. Strong. I object to the silencing of scientists.
And I agree that Michael Imperioli's decades-long campaign of harassment and intimidation against the scientific community on behalf of BP and Monsanto has not received nearly enough attention. Jeremy Strong, seemingly in character, said the protester should be allowed to speak, but Imperioli, also in character, shoved the protester up the stairs as the protesters warned about sea level rise.
I am putting my career on the line because we are not doing anything about this crisis. The water is coming for us. Broadway will not survive on a dead planet.
Sounds like somebody hasn't seen Station 11. They do theater in the...
It's the only thing that does survive.
Yeah, you need theater. You can't have a society without art, Nally.
People need stories.
They need stories.
What about, like, you know, like a place to walk where there's not water? I'm not worried about art. I think we got it. I'm more worried about the grid.
Yeah. Mm.
Anyway, even in a climate apocalypse, if you think Lea Michele is canceling a show just because the floodwaters are up under her neck, it'll be the performance of a lifetime. If Jigsaw put a Tony inside Bernadette Peters, Lea Michele would scoop it out before he got done explaining the rules. Also, I like that protester said, I'm putting my career on the line. Show, don't tell. You can't say during your protest that you're putting your career on the line, because that's a little too much about you, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
This is all going to be funny in 20 years. We're debating this. Things are going to get real wacky in the next 20 years, guys. I just hope everyone's ready.
I just think if you're in the audience during a Broadway play, you need to be prepared for interaction, whether it's a screaming child at Cats or someone trying to, like, touch a Lion King costume as it walks by.
When I was a little kid, my mom took me and my sister to see Les Mis on Broadway, and I was obviously riveted. Mm-hmm. And then my mother received a firm tap on her shoulder, and she looks to her right, and my sister is doing a full handstand in her seat. Bored out of her fucking mind.
That's awesome. Remember when someone pooped at that play that Hillary Clinton was at?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, but then it turned out it wasn't directed. It was just an old person who couldn't make it.
Oh, it was sad. About that part.
Shout out to that old person.
If only it had been some sort of climate protest.
I mentioned this to you guys before we recorded, but I did have my most neo-leb-shill reaction to this.
Yes, we saw.
Which was just that I appreciate, given the state of the emergency, the idea that, like, the interruption of a play, like, maybe there should be no place of comfort. Maybe this is so serious that if all moments should be moments where we're directed back towards this because we're clearly not doing enough. And then at the same time, I genuinely believe that in terms of the next several years on the planet of Earth, the single most important decision, the single biggest hinge point as to whether or not we do more or less on climate change is whether or not we reelect Joe Biden. It is the difference between a president that believes in the Paris Climate Accord, passes the biggest climate legislation in history, and someone who will do the bidding of the oil companies and who thinks windmills cause cancer and believes climate change is a hoax. And Biden may not be cool, and he may not be beloved, and he may be outraging people for very, very legitimate reasons on a whole host of grounds. But the most important thing anyone, anywhere in this country can do over the next 6 months is make sure that we reelect Joe Biden no matter what, no matter our concerns. But I don't feel like that is carrying through, certainly not in the discourse on the left about what this election is all about.
And that's why we need side-by-side fluorescent lit nudes.
Fully
of both
fucking
of these
lit,
men.
Bright,
can't hurt.
No shadows.
You can't hurt at this point.
I want uplights. I want downlights. We got it. These are blown out fucking bodies.
And also, if we could stop sending money over to Israel right now. To me, it's sure. Like, we want people to the left. I think I know exactly what he needs to do.
Listen, I get it. I'm there. Speaking of performers who would die and kill... Speaking of performers This is just for those listening at home. We're not even gonna fix it. Imagine the Lea Michele joke just happened. All right, everybody have that in your mind. Speaking of performers who would die or kill for us, on Saturday, Tom Cruise was spotted with a film crew as he climbed the Hollywood sign. It's always fun to see one of show business.
How did I miss this?
Yeah. Oh my God, Kendra.
Sorry.
It's always fun to see one of showbiz's oldest, most iconic landmarks climbing on something.
Wait, how? What is he doing?
It's for his
next film. He's being a star.
I mean, yes, obviously. I'm never taking that away from him.
It's for his next film, Tiny, Tiny King Kong. Little Tiny King Kong.
He looks great. I mean, he looks
phenomenal.
He looks great.
Any man who's doing the ab show is so fucking psyched about where he got his abs to before this picture was taken.
Yeah. Also, like,
the lift and ab pic, it's like, it's the mission accomplished.
Yeah.
You did finally.
The face has settled. The hair is back.
The hair looks great.
Giving Mission Impossible 2. I'm like happy with where we are now.
I've said it before. I'd say it again. If Scientology turns you into this, sign me up.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was funny. The story I saw about this, the headline was like, Tom Cruise spotted a top Hollywood sign. On the second rung of that W.
Well, he may have kept going.
He can't call that a top.
He's our greatest export and our last movie star.
What if it's a new AMC ad?
Yes, please. Please.
That would be so fun. Or if it's for Regal.
Oh!
Well,
remember, I mean, it's giving see you at the movies.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Can't wait to see him there.
I'm excited. This is, especially since Mission Impossible was pushed back another year. I need that. Yeah, you know, it's not coming out this year. It's coming out next
year. That's a bummer.
Yeah. Never going to find out what happens to the AI. And we kind of need to know for our own sake.
Any final thoughts?
My favorite actor. I love him.
Me too. He's great.
We'd have to get a nude 360. You know what I mean? Can't just be the front.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Turn a little slider in a computer and it turns him around.
Yeah. Like when you're looking at a car.
Yeah.
You got a 3D full rotation. Just like when you're building a character in a video game.
That's the future, baby.
Then we could finally have the election we deserve.
Yeah.
Before we go, Love It or Leave It is going back on tour. We will head it all over the country to cities like Austin, D.C., Asheville, Madison, Pittsburgh, Boston. Did I miss any?
Charlotte.
And other cities. Probably.
Probably.
To see the dates and where we're headed, go to crooked.com/events. Some of these shows are pretty close to sold out, but some of them aren't. And you won't know until you check. Come say hi. And that's our show. I want to thank Kendra, Hallie.
Hogs.
Sarah.
You're welcome.
David on the ones and twos. See you sluts on Saturday.
Bye.
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 If you're already doom scrolling, don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram and Twitter. You can also find Love It or Leave It on YouTube for access to your favorite segments and other exclusive content. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a review. Finally, you can join our Friends of the Pod subscription community for ad-free episodes, exclusive content, and a great discussion on Discord. Plus, it's a great way to get involved with Vote Save America. So sign up today at crooked.com/friends. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It is written and produced by me, John Lovett, and Lee Eisenberg. Kendra James is our executive producer, and Chris Lord is our producer. Hallie Kiefer is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus, Jocelyn Kaufman, Peter Miller, Alan Pierre, Will Miles, and Mohamed El Shiki are our writers. Evan Sutton is our editor. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis provide audio support. Stephen Colon is our audio engineer, and Milo Kim is our videographer. Our theme song is written and performed by Sure Sure. Thanks to our designer, Bernardo Serna, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast, and to our digital producers, Zuri Irvin, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Mia Kelman, and Matt DeGroat for filming and editing video each week so you can. It's Love It or Leave It.
Hi, I'm Alex Wagner. I do not need to tell you that being an American right now is a wild ride. But as a longtime journalist, I am not interested in the noise or the fear-mongering. I'm interested in the stories at the heart of the headlines. That is why every week on my show, Runaway Country, I'm joined by folks in the middle of the crossfire. From disillusioned MAHA moms to newly fired immigration judges to Epstein victims themselves, to understand what it means to live through this political chaos as an actual human being. And now I'm excited to tell you that Runaway Country is available ad-free to Friends of the Pod subscribers. Friends of the Pod is a subscription that supports the work Crooked does as an independent media company and gives you a ton of great bonus and ad-free content. With the midterms approaching, you are going to need more content to keep you sane. And now you can find Runaway Country right there. Subscribe now at crooked.com/friends.